Mishnah Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis discusses a machlokas tanoim about the gzeiros drabanan of basar v'cholov. Mishnah says, Ha'ov ole magvina la shulchan veino nechal, divrei Beis Shammai. Beisil omrim, lo ole v'lo nechal. Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether there's an isser halah of ov and gvina la shulchan. Sounds from the Mishnah that they both agree that there's an isser achila. But the question is there an isser halah? So Amar Rav Yossi, Zomi kula b'shami mechur b'sila. Rav Yossi adds, Zomi kula b'shami mechur b'sila. This is the one of the cases where b'shami isn't making. What's he saying? Mekula b'shami. Normally, when you have a machlokas b'shami b'sila, b'shami is the machne. Most circumstances in Shas, b'shami is the machne. Here, b'shami is clearly the making. Right? B'shami holds that there's no isser halah of ofim magvin ala shulchan. So that's what he says. Zomi kula b'shami mechur b'sila. Question is, what's he adding? You can see that in the Mishnah, it's obvious. So we'll see. That's what the Gemara says. But before we get to the Gemara, Be'ezer Shulchan Amru, B'Shulchan She'ochel Olav, B'Shulchan She'sodr Olav Asataf, She'lnosin Zeh B'tzadzeh Ve'en Achoshish. So comes the Mishnah and says that, first of all, it's not always Osir, right? Even according to those who are Machmir, even according to Beis Hillel, whom we pass like, that there's an Isra Olav, Ofer Magvin Ala Shulchan, it's only B'Shulchan She'ochel Olav. You're eating the oaf and the gvina, you're eating on that table, so then we're afraid. And then there's an iser halah. But shulchan shesodr olav hatavshil, the counter where you're preparing the food, there's no iser halah. Why not? Why not? So what does Rashi say? B'shulchan shesodr olav, the idi de memash meshi beyoda osi le'isnuche zeh agave zeh. Since you're touching with your hands all over the place, in the shulchan shesodr olav, we're afraid that you'll put one on top of the other. What does that mean? Do you understand this, Rashi? Shulchan she'ochel olav is worse than shulchan she'sodr olav hatavshil because you're touching everything. You're touching things in the shulchan she'sodr olav also. No, what's the difference? I wasn't quite sure what Rashi means, unless he's saying that when a person's eating, so they'll take from anywhere on the table because, you know, everything is fair game. It's a suda, and anything on the table you can eat from, and that's fine. But if you're sodr olav hatavshil, so you prepare a tavshil, right? You're preparing each tavshil in a different spot on the counter. First you prepare this, and then you prepare that. You're not moving your hands all over the place on the counter. You're preparing what you're preparing. But once you're eating, since you're moving all around, so then we're afraid that you're gonna mix. Maybe that's what Rashi has in mind. I mean, what he means exactly about moving your hands around, I'm not sure. But the way the poskim explain is that the shulchan she'ochel olav, since you're eating there, so we're more concerned since you're eating the two things. You're eating at that table. Maybe you'll taka eat the basar and the gvina together. But if you're only masader on that counter, you're not eating, so then why should we be choshesh that you're going to eat the basar and the gvina together? You're not even eating there. Rashi says more than that. He's saying it's not just that you're eating on the shulchan she'ochel olav, but you're very busy with your hand. You're touching all different things, so that's why we're afraid that you might come to mix them together, you might come to actually eat them together. So, Frag the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Anu Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi says the same thing as the Tanakama. What's he saying here? He's just saying, Zomi kule b'shan, mechon b'sol, but we can see that from the Tanakama himself. L'chita machila gufa ike benayu, dekama Tanakama behalo kamiflagi b'achila lo pligi. V'amalei, Rabbi Yossi achila gufa mikule b'shan, mechon b'sol. Without the Gemara, maybe Rabbi Yossi is coming to say that b'shamay is mekel, even the gabe achila. That they hold not only halav basar and gvina's mutter, but even achila basar and gvina's mutter. There's no gzeirah derabanan of achila basar and gvina. Maybe that's what he's coming to be mosif, an extra kula on from Beis Shammai, not just halav but even achila. Yeah, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shisha Dvar Mikula Beis Shammai Mikula Beis Hillel. V'zu achas mehen of olim magvina la shulchan ve'eno nechal divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel omrim lo olav v'lo nechal. Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa says, Beferish, that Beis Shammai hold that Ov Magvina ain't on Nechal. It's Ola Emash in Magvina on the Shulchan, but it's not Nechal. They agree to Beis Hillel about the Achila, that Gzer Dravanan, they do agree about. Halah, they argue about. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yossi, Hainu Tanakam, his mom is saying the same as the Tanakam. We don't need him to say, Zomi Kula Beis Shammai Chon Beis Hillel. It's a Dover Poshet. El HaKamash Molam, Man Tanakam, Rabbi Yossi. B'chol Omer, Dover B'Shem Omer, maybe Geula La'olam. The Mishnah is just saying, Rabbi Yossi is the Tanakama. So what do I need that for? Just say, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Beshamai, Omer, etc. No. Kala Omer, Dov, Shem, Omer, Mevi, Geula, La'olam, Shenemar, Batomer Esther Lamelech b'shem Mordechai. We know that Esther told Achashverosh that Mordechai was the one who uncovered the plot of Bigson Viseresh, and as a result of that, we know the whole Nes of Purim occurred. Had she told Achashverosh that, had she not mentioned that Mordechai was the one who found out, so then Achashverosh wouldn't have put it into the Megillah that was read before him, and then nothing would have happened. So it was only because she said it b'shmo, that's why the Geula came. Interesting. There's a lot to be said hashkafically. Know what this means, that Omer Dover B'Shem Omer brings a Geula, and that's what happened in that case, but what's the deeper meaning? Not for now, but it's interesting. Okay, that's the sugi. So the Gemara Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis concludes that everyone holds, both Mishamim and Beis Hillel hold, there's an Isser of Achila of Basar and Gvina B'Yachad. That's for sure. And Isser Halah, that's a Shaila Machlokes Tanaim, but an Isser Achila, that definitely exists. What does it mean, Achila B'Yachad? So simply, achila b'yachad means to eat them together. Clearly, you can't eat them together. How about if I eat one and then I eat the other? Is that also called b'yachad? Is that not b'yachad? That's mutter? Well, what's the din if you eat one after the other? B'yachad, it's clear that it's asa. That's the Mishnah, right? Everyone says, both b'shamay and b'shilel. If you look at the braisa, you see that everyone holds. Even b'shamay agrees that achila of basa and gvina b'yachad is going to be asa. But how about if you eat one after the other? So, the Gemara Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis actually talks about that a little bit. There is a Tosfos here, but to understand the Gemara Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, you really have to see Kuf Hei first. So that's why I gave you Kuf Hei, and then we'll pedal back to Kuf Dalet, and we'll get the full Shleimus of the sugi. So let's move to Kuf Hei. Let's jump a little bit to Kuf Hei. I don't like jumping around, but here it just doesn't make any sense. You're not going to understand the Tosfos unless we look at the Gemara and Kuf Hei, because he refers to the Gemara. So the sugi really begins on Daf Kuf Hei. Let's see the Gemara there on Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. Zok the Gemara Zay. Boy minei Rav Asi mei Rav Yochanan. Kama yishe ben basa l'gvina. Kama leva lo klum. Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, how much do you have to wait between basa and gvina? Mishnah says that you can't eat them together, so what does it mean? Vos meint us together. How long do you have to wait between the two of them so that it's not considered together? So he answers, you really don't have to wait at all. As long as you don't eat them together, this is good. Eini v'ha'amar Rav Chista achol basar asa lecho gvina, gvina mot lecho basar. Rav Chista says that if you eat meat, then you're not allowed to eat gvina afterwards. It's not just that you can't eat gvina with basar, with basar behema together. Right, let's assume he would talk about basar behema. It's not just that you can't eat them together, but you can't eat basa ve'achakach gvina. If you have gvina, then muta lechol achakach basa. Okay, so we see already that there's a distinction between the two. That if you first have gvina, then perhaps it's muta to eat the basa afterwards. But if you have basa, then you're not allowed to eat the gvina afterwards. So how can you say kama yisha ben basa the gvina is velo klum? It's just not that way. Kama yisha ben gvina le basar amalei velo klum. The shaila was not kama yisha ben basar le gvina. Ben basar le gvina is taka asa. Right? You're not allowed, you do have to be shohed between basar and gvina. Achal basar asa lechol gvina. For how long? We'll see. Okay, but there's certainly some kind of an issue. You have to wait a little bit between basar and gvina. But kama yisha ben gvina le basar zokter b'yerchanan velo klum. On that he says that you taka don't have to wait between gvina and basar. That's okay. Okay, completely, we'll see. It's not so posh, you might have to do something also. But not wait between Gvina and Basar as much as you would have to wait between Basar and Gvina. Okay. So Zot the Gemara Gufa, Amar Rav Chista, Ochel Basar, Asa Lechol Gvina, Gvina Mutal Lechol Basar. Rav Chista's statement, let's try to analyze this statement a little bit, says the Gemara. Ochel Basar, you're not allowed to eat Gvina, but Gvina you can eat Basar. So Amalei Rav Acha Bar Yosef, Rav Chista, Basar Shebein HaShinayim Mahu. What's the din of basa shebein hashinayim? You have basa between the teeth. Are you allowed to eat gvina if you have basa between the teeth? Right? The simple understanding of his shaila is that if you have basa ben hashinayim, now she says, "Michoshev basa shelo lechol gvina imo ad sheyitlenu." Is the basa ben hashinayim significant enough that you have to take out the basa before you eat the gvina? You can't eat basa and gvina together. So if you're going to eat gvina with basa ben hashinayim, is that called eating basa and gvina together? So kari alei habasa odenu ben shinayim. What a gemara, right? He
He quotes a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, "Abasa odina beishinem." In the case of Kivro Satava, the hamisavim, when Bnei Yisrael wanted basar, Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave them the slav, but there was a magefa, and people died. The people who wanted the basar taiva, they died. So, and in the midst of that discussion, the pasuk says, "Abasa odina beishinem terem yikares." Before they had a chance to bite, right, to eat it up, there was a magefa and the people died. So he quotes this pasuk to show you what basar ben hashinayim is. What it has a shame basar. The pasuk says a basar odena ben shinayim, so it means it's odena ben shinayim, it's between the teeth, right? So forget the details of the story, but the pasuk is saying the basar is odena ben shinayim, and yet it's called basar. There's a shame basar on that basar. So it sounds like basar ben hashinayim does have a shame basar. It seems like the answer to his question is, if basar is ben hashinayim, then you take a kini gvina. You first have to remove the basar ben hashinayim before you can eat gvina, because if you don't, it'll be like having basar and gvina. Yeah. That's the simple read of the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara quotes Rav Chisda's halacha that if you eat basar, you have to wait before you can eat gvina. That's clearly what the Gemara seems to say. Why should you have to wait? The Gemara sets up a distinction between basar v'achakach gvina and gvina v'achakach basar. Well, what's the chiluk? Well, what's the difference? The halacha is if you're not allowed to eat the basar and gvina together. That's the Mishnah, right? Beshamai, beshil, they both say you can't eat basar and gvina together. But zeh achar zeh, what should be the problem? As long as it's not together, it shouldn't be a problem. Apparently, the Gemara sees that there is a problem, but there's a difference between basar v'achakach gvina as opposed to gvina v'achakach basar. What is that problem, and why is there a difference? So comes Rashi, says what? What does Rashi say over here? Basar lechol gvina. If you have basar, then you can't eat gvina. Mishum de basar motzi shuman v'hu nidvak befer umarach b'tayim. Three things. Right? Basar is motzi shuman. It has some kind of an oily texture to it. There's shamnunis in the basar. Right? We know that. Basar has like an oily feel to it. And it sticks to the mouth, right? If you eat basar, you get oily teeth, right? The oil sticks to the mouth. Umarach b'taimo, and the tam habasar is also marach. Like the tam stays within you, says Rashi. He says a lot over here, this Rashi. So what's the ikur of the Rashi? What's he saying? If you eat basar v'achakach gvina, then you got to wait between the basar and the gvina. Why? Why? Again, the isser is the achila of basar and gvina b'yachad. So Rashi is trying to explain, why is basar v'achakach gvina asar? How is that basar and gvina biachad? So says Rashi, oh, because the basar is there. You think that you've finished the basar, it's not there. No, it'll be like eating basar and gvina biachad, because the basar is no sintam, right? It's motzi shuman, it's nidbak b'peh, and it's marech b'taimu. What does that mean? So comes the Bari HaShulchan, and simen pei tesef katan aleph, that's the simen that talks about waiting between milchiks and fleshiks. He says, you know what Rashi means? Rashi means that after you eat basar, there's like a thin layer of oil that remains on your teeth. It's not, you know, if you brushed your teeth before you ate the basar and then you eat basar, it's not going to be clean. There's a layer of oil that remains on your in your mouth. And the tam is going to remain there. So that's the problem, since you have the layer of oil and the tam is there. So Eating gvina after the basa, right? Basa v'achakach gvina is like eating basa and gvina biyachad, because it's like eating the gvina with the oily texture of the basa is still there. And he says that's meduyik in the lashon of Rashi. The Rashi says that it's motzi shuman v'hu nidbak bepeh. Nidbak bepeh. The shuman is nidbak bepeh. It clings to the mouth, clings to the teeth. So that's why it's like eating basa and gvina biyachad. It's going to be a problem. That's how he understood Rashi. Yes? No. Isser daraisa basar b'chol is not going to be. You only have the isser achila basar b'chol of daraisa if you cook them together. You got to cook meat and milk together and then eat the chefts of basar b'chol. So we're not talking about daraisas over here. But the isser achila midrabanan is to eat basar and gvina together even if they haven't been cooked together. Vos mein das, eating it together. What does that mean, eating it together? Eating it together, okay, kipshuto, means that you're having basar and gvina. You're having a cheeseburger, right? But that's not what we're talking about over here. Right? You're not eating it together. You're eating them one after the other, and yet it's considered midrabbanan, like you're eating it together. So why is it considered that you're eating it together? So it says Rashi, because the tam abasar is still there. The tam is nidbak bepeh. The shamnunis is nidbak bepeh. So if you're going to have the gvina afterwards, it's like having basar and gvina together. What's the problem with this pshat in Rashi? If you want to learn this way in Rashi, so what's the simple solution to this issue? We'll see that you have to wait some amount of time, it seems. According to many Rishonim, there's a certain amount of time that you have to wait. You know, but good and well, but there's a certain amount of time, right? So we assume that the Shuman is Nidbak Bepeh for a certain amount of time. But why? If you learn that the whole idea is that there's a layer of oil on the teeth, and therefore it's going to be like eating basar and gvina together, if you have the gvina achar basar, so then what could you simply do? Yeah,
kinuach.
Right? Wash your mouth out. Brush your teeth. If you brush your teeth, certainly b'zman hazeh that we have the toothbrush, you really can brush your teeth well. There's not going to be any oily texture on the teeth at all. It's like putting soap in your mouth. We don't suggest to wash out your mouth with soap, but you can use toothpaste. Toothpaste works just as well to clean out the teeth. So what's, and before they had toothpaste also, there are ways of cleaning out the teeth so that there's no oil there. So if this is really the Pshat and Rashi, it's the Chora a little bit difficult. Why do you have to wait? We'll see that to ensure that there's no shamnunis that's nidbak, but you have to wait between basar and gvina. Why wait? Just clean out the teeth, and that should be enough. Kinuach should be sufficient. So the Sefer Megillah Sefer, that's the beautiful work that we quoted last week. That's on Yeridaya. Megillah Sefer wants to suggest maybe there's a different Pshat and Rashi, not like the Bar Yashulchan. What does Rashi mean to say? Not that there's a shamnunis, the layer of shamnunis that's nidbak bepeh, but rather, when a person eats meat, meat is like it's a heavy food. It's not a light food, it's a heavy food. So if you eat meat, what happens? The taste of the meat, the shuma is heavy, so the taste of the meat somehow stays within you for a certain amount of time. Right? And you can like feel that taste of meat within you. Sometimes it actually comes up. A person might actually burp a little bit. But even without doing that, you have this certain meaty feel in your mouth. That's what he wants to suggest with Das Rashi. Maybe that's Taka Meduyek in the end of Rashi. Rashi says, not only is the Shuma Nidbak Befeh, but it's Marech B'taymo. It's Marech B'taymo. What does that mean? The Shamnunas that's sitting on the teeth? He wants to suggest, no, marach b'taimu means that the time of the basa remains within you for a certain amount of time. It digests, but before it digests for a significant period of time, it's there, and you feel that basa taste within you. He says that's the problem according to Rashi, that if you're going to eat gvina achar basa, since the time of the basa is marach b'fe, it's not just a layer on the teeth, but there's some time of basa within you, that will be considered like eating basar and gvina together. It'll be considered like eating basar and gvina together if you have gvina achar basar, because the tam habasar is going to remain there. So he wants to learn Rashi. Kol zeh b'das Rashi. Yes.
Even if you do kinuach.
Yes. Yeah, because you can't wash out your stomach, right? It's going to remain within you, right? It's going to come up, or even if it doesn't come up, literally. There's like a taste, you feel a taste of basa, he's saying. We'll see. It's actually meduyek in some of the poskim, but we'll see. It's not so posh. What he's saying is very deep, and it actually might be meduyek in some of the poskim. We'll see. Yeah, I'm not talking about throwing it up. I'm talking about a person functioning totally normally. He'll still feel that tam habasa within him. He had. Maybe. But that's not a normal circumstance. It could be that the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan was given for normal circumstances. So even though a person who throws up is not going to have the Tama Basar inside of him anymore, technically speaking, you're right. If there's no Basar anymore, then it should be Mutta. But I can't imagine that we're going to have such a Kula. Right? I can't imagine that we're going to have such a Kula, because Mistama Chazala is going to be Gozer below Plug. That since in most circumstances the Tama Basar is going to be Nimsha, so then he's going to have to wait. Yes.
I don't know about the Shulchan, what else would have to factor in digestion.
What do you mean?
So, because it's Merch Tama, you feel like you have meat.
But the Bari Ashochem would learn Midas Rashi that that's not significant enough. You actually have to have the basa there. So he says that's what the layer of oil makes it, that the basa is mamish there.
So when in the digestive process, was it in the stomach? No.
It is in the stomach, so, but it's not in my mouth. There's no isser to have basa and gvina in your stomach.
Mm.
The isser is to have it in the mouth. Right? If someone, I don't know, someone does surgery and puts a piece of basa and a piece of gvina in your stomach, there's no isser, right? The isser is to have them in your mouth at the same time, because what? We're afraid that you might come to cook them together and to eat them when they're cooked together. So just because someone stuffs a piece of meat and a piece of cheese in your stomach, you're not going to come to cook them together and to eat them together. It's so bizarre that we're not afraid of that. This is all within Rashi. Who disagrees with Rashi? The Rambam. Right? The Rambam has a different approach here. What does the Rambam say? Perek Tes Halocha Chav Ches Av Hilchos Macholos Asuros. Rambam says a lot here, but let's take it slow. What does the Rambam say? Mishachol Basar B'tchila Ben Basar Ben Basar Behem Ben Basar Ov Lo Yochal Achrav Cholav Ad Shiyia Beinein Kedei Shir Suda Cheres. We'll see what that shir is. Let's leave that out. Let's not confuse ourselves. V'pnei HaBasar Shel Ben HaShinayim She'en Osar V'Kinua. Says the Rambam, what's the reason that you have to wait, whatever that zman is? Because there's basa ben hashinayim. Oh, basa ben hashinayim. We've seen that. That was the shail of the Gemara, right? What's the din of basa ben hashinayim? Comes the Rambam and says, no, that's actually the reason why you have to wait between basa and vina. Because there's basa ben hashinayim. There's basa, there's meat that remains between the teeth. It's not sor b'kinuach. It doesn't go away just with the stam b'kinuach, wiping it away, maybe even washing it away. It's still basa ben hashinayim. If it's basa ben hashinayim, what's going to be the problem? If you have the gvina, that's eating gvina and basa together. Eating gvina and basa together, not eating the basa now. Oh, but the basa is still there. Basa is ben hashinayim. So if you eat the gvina achar basa, it's like eating basa u gvina biyachad. This is not Rashi. It's a different approach. Rashi says even if there's no basa ben hashinayim, the shamnunis habasar is nidbak bepel marech betaima, whatever that means, right? Either there's a layer of oil, or somehow the heaviness of the basar remains, the tam basar remains within the person, lizman meruva. So if you eat the gvina achar basar, it's like eating basar and gvina biachan. The Rambam says, no, it's much more obvious than that. It's that there's basar ben hashinayim. And basar ben hashinayim means the basar is still there, so if you have the gvina, it's like having basa and gvina together, and that's going to be a problem. That's like mamash, eating basa and gvina together. Even though you're not actually eating the basa, it's ben hashinayim, but maybe the Rambam holds that. We're afraid that the basa ben hashinayim will come out as you're eating the gvina. That's mamash eating gvina and basa biyachad. So that's the problem, according to the Rambam. What's the nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam? So the Tor sets up two nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. Let's look at the Lashon of the Tor. Try to analyze which approach within Rashi the Tor had. Okay, now that we have a background, we have Rashi, we have a Rambam, we have two different approaches within Rashi. Let's look at the Tor and see how the Tor developed it. We'll see how the Poskim interpret the Tor. So if you have the packet, let's look at it together. Packet number 6. The Tor says, the Tor in Yerideya, Simen Peites, Sifam. Page 1. Achol basa lo shna behema chaya v'of lo yochal vina acharav ad sheyishe keshir shemizman sudas avokar ad sudas erev. Okay, we're going to get to that. Shehu sheyshos. Okay, we'll get to it now. Sheyshos. We know that sheyshos, 6 hours. So that's what the Torah quotes. We'll see it's in the Rishonim before the Torah as well. You got to wait a certain amount of time. Says the Torah, v'afilu imshah keshir yesh basa ben hashinayim tzarech lo asiro. Even if you waited the amount of time that you're supposed to wait, but if there's basa ben hashinayim, after that zman, let's call it after 6 hours, you gotta take out the basa before you gvina. Okay. Ubesoch hazman, says the Torah, toch hazman, within the 6 hours, afilo in basa ben hashinayim osur. Even if there is no basa ben hashinayim, it's still osur. The fisha basa motzi shumun umoshech tam at zman oroch. Why is it osur if there's no basa ben hashinayim? Because the tam abosar, because the bosar is motzi shuman and it's moshech tam wadzman och. Who's the Torah quoting? Rashi. This is Rashi. He doesn't say nidbak bepeh. But he means it, right? But he doesn't say it. But okay, this is Rashi. It's motzi shuman. It's moshech tam ad zman orch. Lefiza atam says the tour lo ochlo ela shalosa latinok ain tzarach lahamtin kemish lo ochlo ain a motzi tam. Says the tour, I'll give you enough kamin according to Rashi. If the issue is that the basar is moshech tamol is mameruba, if he didn't eat the basar, but rather he was loaso latinok, he only chewed it for a tinok, for a baby. They didn't have Gerber's baby food in that time. So if you wanted to prepare food for a baby, you would chew it up, the mother would chew it up, and then put it into some kind of a container and feed it to the child. Right? The child, the mother wasn't sick. If the mother was sick, she wouldn't do this. But if she's not sick, so she would chew it up, make it soft, and then the baby would be able to eat it. That's what they used to do. So says the Torah, according to Rashi, if all the individual did, what he was loso latino, he chewed it up for the baby, but he didn't actually swallow it, so then it's not Moshech tamol is mameruba, and then it would be permissible to eat gvina after basa. Hey, chew up the basa. The child needs basa. If you don't chew up the basa, then the child's going to choke. So you got to chew it up into small pieces. Soften it for the child. This has the Torah. If all you're doing is softening it, you're not swallowing the basa, then there's no problem. But the Rambam says the problem is basa ben hashinai. Well, if yidvarav, la'acha sheshoa kashir mutar afilu nisha basa ben hashinai. Okay, let's leave that out for a moment. According to the Rambam, Lois Latinok does have to wait. That's enough community between Rashi and the Rambam. Does Lois Latinok have to wait between Basar and Gvina? According to Rashi, there's no necessity for Lois Latinok to wait because he's not swallowing. But according to the Rambam, if the problem is Basar ben Hashinayim, even if you're only Lois, you're only chewing it, you're not swallowing, there still is a chashash of Basar ben Hashinayim. So such an individual would have to wait before he eats gvina. That's the nafkamina the two wants to suggest according within the two shittas of the Rishon. Okay? Yes?
I don't understand why there's no tam if you eat the mouth. Elaborate on that.
There's no tam because you just put it into the mouth, but then you basically spit it out.
But you chew it.
You chew it.
So
but then you spit it out.
Like, let's say gum. You don't swallow gum.
Right.
But it's still.
Yeah, and the time remains there for 6 hours?
6 hours, no.
2 minutes. Right. Does the time of the bus is going to remain there if I only put it into my mouth and I spit it out? That's what
How
he's assuming, that if you don't swallow it, it's not going to remain there. Okay, we'll talk a little bit further in a moment. I saw another hand. Yeah, for sure.
According to the Rambam, if we knew, in this case, we knew for sure that he didn't have any meat in his teeth, what would we assume?
So it sounds like according to the Rambam, we're afraid of basa ben hashinayim, right? So we'll see later. Some of the posts can have a lashon. According to the Rambam, it's a chashash. Maybe there'll be basa ben hashinayim. It's not that there's vaday basa ben hashinayim, because if it's a problem of vaday, so take out the basa. Take out the basa, it shouldn't be a problem. Nikur is sufficient, right? You should be able to solve the problem if you floss if you eat the basa. It's not that they had the fancy dental floss with the mint flavor and all these other. But, they had toothpicks, so they had. A kesam, right? They have a kesam, the Gemara Solution, a kesam.
Yeah,
okay.
Get him.
What?
You just get him to floss.
Inject them?
Get him, use
Eat them, right, okay, right, exactly. They have ways of floss. They knew how to floss before, the modern brands came out. And it's not something that you have to discover in the 21st century, right? Okay, it was actually a lot cheaper then. So according to the Rambam, just take the bus of Ben Hashinayim out and everything should be fine. Apparently there's a chashash that you're not going to see everything. And then we're afraid some of the bus will come out. So another hand? Yes. Morty.
Did you say that this not like this of Rashi and Rambam and Nafkamina? All depends on if you understand Rashi like me or something.
That's exactly where I'm going. Very good. Exactly. So let's think about it. According to the Torah, right, Rashi holds that if Lasso Latinok, then there's no problem of basa, there's no need to wait between basa and gvina. Why? But if you take the Bari HaShulchan's approach, why is there no problem? You're not going to have shamnunis on the teeth. Shamnunis is nidbak bepeh. Why does it matter that I'm only lois? I don't have to swallow. As long as I'm lois, it enters the mouth and the shamnunis is going to remain there, right? That's your kasha. The shamnunis is going to be there, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what you asked. 100%. Okay, 100%. That's why I'm coming back to you. Yanai! Baldik. But the Megillah Sefer would say, no, according to me, it makes perfect sense. What the Torah suggests is that the whole problem, according to Rashi, is that the tam is marech befer. What does that mean, tam is marech befer? Because you're having basa has a heavy type of taste to it, right? So if you swallow the basa, you eat the basa, it remains in the body, and that tam somehow comes up in different forms, even if a person digests it just fine. But that feeling of basa is still in the body. Maybe that's true only if he's ochel basa, only if he eats the basa. But if he's lois, if he just chews it, so that's not significant enough to create that kind of a tam. That's the chor, what the Torah is saying. It's not, we can't understand what the Torah is saying. Bechlal, this is what the shach and the levush have a back and forth about this very issue. The shach quotes the Torah dutifully, right? Maybe it's the shach. Shach is on page 4. No, that's the Kriya Chodesh.
There's sheet 7, number 3.
Oh yeah, I didn't put this in the package. Page 3. Oh, there you go. I thought I put it in this pack. Okay. What does the Shach say? He quotes the Biurim of Rashi and the Rambam that the Torah has, going on the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the Shulchan Aruch says you should be machmer like both Rashi and the Rambam. What do you mean, like both? This is one nafkamina. The answer is there are two nafkaminas. We'll get to the other one in a second. He says you should be ochez lechumer mishnei atzadim. Well, let's just focus on this nafkamina. So he says that the Aterazov, who's the Aterazov? Levush Aterazov, Levush. Mordechai Yaffe wrote Sfarim on Shulchan Aruch, so he has a Levush Aterazov on Yerodea, right? He has a Levush, right? Levush Malchus, Tcheles Bechur, Aterazov, Ir Shushan, right? So he has the Ir Shushan on Choshemish, but all the different Levushim Mordechai had. So he has different Levushim on each Chelek of Shulchan Aruch. Levush Aterazov says, says the Levush, even if Loso Latinok, he has to wait. Afagav shelo ochla, even if he didn't eat it. There's still a tambos that's definition betoch peh, betoch peh. Udvarv tmum, says the Shach. Shach says it's a pel. The Shach quotes from the Vush that even according to Rashi, if law is a Latino, you have to wait because the tambos is going to be nimshach betoch peh. So frek the Shach, but that doesn't make any sense. Why? Shach is learning like the Bari Ashulchan. He assumes that what Rashi means to say is that the tam is needed back prepared. There's a shamnunis, there's a layer of shamnunis that remains in the pet. Right? So he says that if loso latinok, again, I take it back. The Levush says that even if loso latinok, you still have to wait. Right? The Levush is learning like the Bari Ashulchan. Right? Levush learned like the Bari Ashulchan that the problem is that there's a shamnunis that remains in the mouth. So even if law is Latino, there is a shamnunis. There's going to be some kind of oil in the mouth. So you should have to wait then too. Says the Shach, Udvar Tumun. Why? The Shach learned like whom? Megillah Sefer. The Shach learned that the Pshat Bedas Rashi, like the Tur, the Pshat Bedas Rashi is that when you eat basar, the tam is nimshach. There's a tam in the body. Right? Somehow that tam is going to come up. It's still going to be felt in the body. It's not because there's an oily texture on the teeth. No, it's because the tam is felt in the body. That's why the Torah wanted to learn das Rashi that if loso latinok, if all you did was chew it, you didn't swallow it, that tam is not going to be felt in the body. The Levush argues with the Torah. The Levush says, according to the tam of Rashi, there should still be an Isser, even if he was only lois and he wasn't ochel.
Zok the Shach, Devar of Tamuim. Shach is going with the tour. Torah says, according to Rashi, if he was only Lois and he wasn't Ochel, there is no problem. Why? Because they're learning, Rashi holds that the Tam is Nimshach through the Achila. If you're Ochel the Basa, then the Tam is felt. Somehow that Tam remains in the body. It's not just because of a layer of oil in the teeth. No, it's the Tam of the Basa in the body. The Tam of the Basa in the body is only going to be Shaykh if there's an Achila, not if there's just the Le'isa. Okay, so the Machlokas, the Levush, and the Shach might be a machlokas, how to understand Rashi. What is the tam? The tam that there's going to be some kind of a taste of basar in the body? Or is the tam, is the reason, the issue that there's going to be some kind of shamnunus, a layer of shamnunus on the teeth? They quote from the Hagos of Rav Shlomo Kluger on the Prima Gadim, that everyone would say that if all you do is taste the tavshil, you don't chew it, that certainly shouldn't be a problem. Right? If you only taste the tavshil, you shouldn't have to wait, because if you're not even chewing it, you're just putting it in your mouth very quickly just to taste it, and you're spitting it out immediately, it's not going to get anywhere. It's not even going to get on the teeth. That's what he wants to suggest. So tasting it certainly shouldn't be an issue.
Prima Gadim?
What?
You said the Prima Gadim.
Rav Shlomo Kluger's Hagos on the Prima Gadim. That's what he wants to suggest, that if you're tam, upolate, just put it into your mouth on the tongue. Put it into your mouth and spit it out, nothing is going to remain, because it's not nidbak to the teeth at all. So that would be okay according to everyone. But if you're loe, so that's a machlokas, the levush and the shach, whether according to Rashi there would be a problem, or there wouldn't be a problem. According to the Rambam, there certainly would be a problem, because we're afraid of basa ben ashinai. Mordechai.
What's the reason why we're
He does hold by both reasons, but the Shach and the Levush are saying, Bedas Rashi, would there be a problem? Right, according to the Torah, if the Torah says that you're supposed to be Ochez the Chumras of both Rashi and the Rambam, so it's not going to make a difference according to the Torah, because if you're going to be Machmer for the Rambam, then you'll be Choshesh for Basa ben Ashinayim anyway, Mordechai, right? So it's not going to make a difference according to the Torah, but if you're a purist, if you're following Rashi, what would Taka Rashi hold? Is this enough Gemina between Rashi and the Rambam or not? Right? According to the Levush, there's not enough Gemina between Rashi and the Rambam at all. Both of them would say there's a problem. Even Rashi would say that if you're Loas or Latino, it's going to be a problem, because he would say that there's a Shamnunis that remains on the teeth. According to the Rambam, there's Zichra problem because of Basa ben Ashinayim. But says the Shach, no, Lefi Rashi, it's not a problem at all, because without Nachila, nothing is going to enter into the belly, and there isn't going to be a Tam in the body, so it's not going to be a problem at all. Only according to the Rambam, it's going to be a problem. So it's machlokas levush and the shach, whether this nafkamina between the Rambam and Rashi really is true, or do they both say that it's going to be a problem? Okay, this is one issue. What's the other nafkamina that the Torah mentions? Basa ben Ashinayim la'achar sheishos. Right, we saw before. We're going to see in greater detail, but the Torah learns that the amount of time you have to wait between basa and gvina is sheishos. Right, 6 hours. So the question is, let's say you have Basa ben Ashinayim after the Sheishas. So says the Torah, he quotes the Rambam. He says, Ulefid Varv, La'acha Sheshoa, Kashir, Mutar Afilu Nisha Basa ben Ashinayim. According to the Rambam, even if Basa is Nisha ben Ashinayim, La'acha Sheshos, or if Basa is Nisha ben Ashinayim, La'acha Sheshos, should be Mutar. The Rambam is choshe shabasa ben Ashinayim toch sheshos, but la'acha sheshos, it's fine. And how about according to Rashi? So that's what he said earlier. We jumped through it because we really wanted to get to the other issue, le'isa. But what does he say, b'das Rashi? Afilu m'shoa kashir, and yesh basa ben Ashinayim, tzarech la'asiro. Says the Torah, according to Rashi, if you have basa ben Ashinayim, la'acha sheshos, avadi, you have to remove it. Avadi, you have to remove the basa ben Ashinayim, according to Rashi. It sounds like the Torah is learning another nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam is, do you have to remove basa ben Ashinayim la'acha sheshos? According to the Rambam, no, it's not necessary. According to Rashi, yes. What's he saying? Why, according to the Rambam, do you have to remove it after sheshos? No. Why, according to the Rambam, do you not have to remove it la'acha sheshos, and according to Rashi, you do? So it seems like the Torah is learning that Rashi would hold avada, basa ben Ashinayim. Kili basa ben Ashinayim. If you know that there's basa ben Ashinayim, you have to remove it, because if not, then that's eating basa and gvina biyachad, for sure. So why did the Rambam think like that? Why did the Rambam think that you have to remove Basar ben Hashanayim la'achar Sheh Shams? What's the Lashon of the Rambam again? Let's see it inside. Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Chav Ches again. Misha ochel Basar b'tchila ben Basar b'hem ben Basar of lo yochel achrav kola v'chiyah b'neim k'dei shir su b'cheretz, etc. V'pnei ha-basar shel ben Hashanayim she'en osar b'kinoach. The Rambam doesn't talk about Basar ben Hashanayim la'achar Sheh Shams. But the Torah is extrapolating, according to the Rambam, that if the Chachamim gave a shir shehiyah, a shir of hefsek between basar and gvina, if the tam adover is for basar ben hashinayim, it makes sense that the issue of basar ben hashinayim only applies to chasman, because that's the nature of the gzeirah d'rabban. Chazal make a gzeirah that you have to wait. So mistoma, you have to wait for basar ben hashinayim. That problem exists only b'sol chazman. But after the zman, it doesn't exist. But why? It's still basar ben hashinayim. So apparently, the Torah is learning, according to the Rambam, the meat is ben hashinayim, but it doesn't have a shame basar after Sheh Shams. It's digested. It's rotted enough. It's not rotten, but it's not basar in the same way. So even if you have basar ben hashinayim, the Rambam is in choshesh for that basar la'achar Sheh Shams. It's only Tosh Sheh Shos that it has a Shem Basar. After Sheh Shos, it doesn't have a Shem Basar according to the Rambam. That's the contrast. The Rambam says that, of course, you have to wait between Basar and Gvina, because you'll have Basar ben Hashanayim, and that'll be like eating Basar and Gvina B'yachad, but it's only until Sheh Shos. Why is it only until Sheh Shos? If you have Basar ben Hashanayim after Sheh Shos, it should also be a problem. No, because apparently Basar ben Hashanayim, the Rambam holds, after Sheh Shos, is not called Basar. It's not called Basar. If it's not called Basar, then there's no problem. But Rashi wasn't learning that the whole Gezerah Drabanan is because of Basar ben Hashinayim. Rashi says the problem is that the Tam HaBasar is Nimshach L'Zman Merubah. It's Marech B'Tamo. It's Nizbak B'Peh. It's not Basar ben Hashinayim. We're not Choshesh for Basar ben Hashinayim. We're Choshesh for even more than that. Meaning, even if you don't have Basar ben Hashinayim, there's still a problem. Rashi's a big Machmer here. So comes the Torah and says, Rashi might learn that Basar ben Hashinayim, that's going to be Basar, of course, even after Vav Shah is going to be Basar. How long is it going to be basar? La'olam void? La'olam void. Mustamo, you know, once the basar really starts not to smell so good, so you're going to figure out that you have basar ben Hashanayim. But, I mean, once it's been there for a while and it's not, you know, it does start to rot in the mouth. It can't stay there. It can't stay there forever, right? And if you don't take it out, it starts to damage the teeth, right? It doesn't belong there. So at a certain point in time, it's not going to be called basar. But right after Sheh Shos, it's still going to be basar. Right? It takes a little bit longer than that. So Rashi would hold basar ben Hashanayim avada is a problem. The chashash, the gzera d'rabbanan that forces us to wait between meat and dairy, that's not basar ben Hashanayim. Something much more than that. It's a bigger chumrah than that. It's the tam basar, it's nidbak bepeh, it's marak b'tam. It's much more than that. So Rashi would say, if you talk about basar ben Hashanayim avada, you have to remove the basar. But the Rambam would say, no. The whole Gzera Drabbana was because of Basar ben Hashinayim. And we'll see that the Chacham gave a sheer zman for that Gzera. So if the Chacham gave a sheer zman, and it's a Basar ben Hashinayim, it sounds like the Chacham is saying that after the zman, it's not Basar ben Hashinayim. Physically, it's ben Hashinayim, but it's not called Basar. It's not called Basar. So if it's not called Basar, then the Gzera Drabbana doesn't apply. That's how the Torah was learning Rashi and the Rambam. Questions? Yes? So, which sheet does seems more mistaber, the way the Torah is explaining? Rashi or the Rambam? And bring me a Rashi. Go ahead, Morty. All right, which sheet does more mistaber, Rashi or the Rambam, based on the Gemara?
Rashi,
exactly. Galdik. Chora, the Raya to Rashi is the Gemara. Isn't there a Gemara mufreshes like Rashi? What does the Gemara say? Rav Acha bar Yosef asked Rav Chista, Basar shebein hashinayim mal. What's the din of basar ben hashinayim? Kari aleha basar din of ben hashinayim. It's an open and shut shayla. You have a shayla. What's the din of basar ben hashinayim? The Gemara asked the shayla. What's the din of basar ben hashinayim? And he quotes a pasuk, basar din of ben hashinayim, that shows you that it has a shame basar. It's the chapella, right? Isn't it a rhyme of fereshes for Rashi? A pell against the Rambam. What's the Rambam thinking here? There's no din of basar ben hashinayim. It's not called basar if it's ben hashinayim. La'acha Sheh Shos. Isn't that the shayla of the Gemara? It's l'chora. That's the raya to shitas Rashi. That's what Rashi was assuming. Who explains the shayla of the Gemara like that? The Rosh. That's the Rosh. Let's take a look at the Rosh together.
Rosh has a lot on this sugya. Two very important points in the Rosh. One of the points is this. Here's the Rosh. Rosh is at the end of Siman Hay. Omer le'rav Acha b'rei Rav Yosef le'rav Chista boser shel bein ha'shinayim ma'ahu. Koma, mi havi kimu'ukol kevin d'nishtor kol kach ad zman suda achrina bein tzarech la'asira. What's the shailan in the Gemara according to the Rosh? Is boser bein ha'shinayim considered mu'ukol? Is it digested? Since it waited so much, nishtor kol kach ad zman suda achrina. He's saying the Shaila of the Gemara is what's the status of Bosa ben Hashinayim le'achar zman suda after the sheishos. Mamish the Shaila. What's the status of Bosa ben Hashinayim after the zman that the Chacham gave? He's not asking Bosa ben Hashinayim toch hazman. He's saying Bosa ben Hashinayim le'achar zman. That's mamish the Shaila. Korale ha'bosa odena ben Hashinayim. Says the Rosh Alma. Adkan. Says the Rosh, the Shaila in the Gemara was, what's the status of Basar ben Hashinayim la'achar hazman? Answers the Gemara, Basar odena ben Hashinayim, you see, Gzeres HaKosov, that Habasar odena ben Hashinayim does make, that as long as the Basar is ben Hashinayim, it has a Shem Basar. So if that's the case, then even la'achar sheishos, it'll have a Shem Basar. So that's how Rashi learned. Rashi would say that if you have Basar ben Hashinayim, there ain't nothing to talk about. Of course it's a problem. I'm telling you that even if Basar is not ben Hashinayim, there's still a problem. You have to wait some shear, the shear of Suda. I keep on saying it. We haven't read the Gemara yet, but yeah, the shear of Mesuda Lesuda, that's the shear's man that the Chacham gave, that even if you don't have Basar ben Hashinayim, but since the Basar is Nidbak Bepeh, the Shuman is Nidbak Bepeh, Marach Betambo, the Chacham said you still have to wait, even without Basar Ben Hashinayim. But if you have Basar Ben Hashinayim, Avadi, you have to wait, even after the Zman, says Rashi. Because it has a Shem Basar, if it's Ben Hashinayim. What's the Rambam going to do with the Gemara? It's the Chapel against the Rambam. This Gemara is a riot to Rashi's Pshat Nesugah. We're having trouble understanding what Rashi's Pshat Nesugah is. Megillah Sefer, and Bar Yashulchan, and Meshach and Levushach, okay. So, okay. A little bit of a deal in Rashi. But Rashi felt compelled to give some other kind of a pshat. We have to figure out what that pshat is. But he had to say something else. Because to say the Rambam is not against the Gemara. That's why Rashi felt pushed into the corner. The Rambam's pshat is much easier. Basar ben Hashinayim, of course. Of course, but it's against the Gemara. So if it's against the Gemara, even if it's of course, you can't say. Of course you can't say. It's simpler. It works more easily, but it's against the Gemara. So you can't say such a pshat. What's the Rambam going to say? So who is this kash against the Rambam? The Maran. But before the Maran. Earlier. The Bach is this kasha. The Marshal and the Yamshel Shlomo is the kasha. You didn't see the Yamshel Shlomo. But the Gedolei Achronim is this kasha, even before Maran. The Marshal came before the Maran. The Bach is this kasha. Bach is troubled with this kasha. Here's the Bach. Back to page one. Can't get past page one. All roads lead back to page one. Yesh Lach shows. The Harama may come in boil, they buzz of Shabena Shinaim. Hello, Ikara Tam, the Tsar of Lishos Kashir, Lohavi, the Mishim Buzz of Shabena Shinaim, Shloyochli Mokavina, Achis Akel, Bashir Ashia, the Sheishos. What's the Shaila? Buzz of Ben Hashinayim, Mahu. That is the whole point. That is the whole shot. The Ramam says that if you have Buzz of Ben Hashinayim, that's the whole Gzeira. So what do you say there's a Gzeira, there's a need to wait this month. He's actually asking a little bit of a different question. He's saying, if according to the Rambam, the whole reason why you have to wait between Basar and Gvina is because of Basar ben Hashinayim, so then what's the Gemara then asking? What's the din of Basar ben Hashinayim? But you just told me that you have to wait between Basar and Gvina. So you knew that there was a Basar ben Hashinayim issue. So now the Gemara is asking, you, what's the din of Basar ben Hashinayim? Of course there was a problem with Basar ben Hashinayim. What's the shayla? Yesh lama de kami bar leim yesh lismachal nikor ha-basar sheben Hashinayim shleih etzar lam v'sheshos. The shayla of the Gemara, according to the Rambam, was not what the din of Basar ben Hashinayim is. The Shaila of the Gemara was, can you rely on Nikar HaBasar? You eat Basar, and you feel this on Basar ben Hashinayim, so you're
menaker, you floss between the teeth, you take out whatever basar is there. Can you rely on that to know that there's no more basar ben hashinayim? That's the shaila of the Gemara. Can you rely on the fact that you didn't nikur to ensure that there's no basar ben hashinayim? That's the shaila. So toch she shows, the Rambam holds that you can't rely on nikur. La'achar she shows, the Rambam holds that you can rely on the nikur. We don't have to assume that that there's basar ben hashinayim. The whole shaila, according to the Rambam, is can you rely on nikur hashinayim, on flossing the teeth to ensure that there's no basar ben hashinayim. That was the shaila of the Gemara. Shaila was not about the status of basar ben hashinayim. Shaila was, can you rely on nikur abasar, on nikur hashinayim besoch hazman to ensure that there's no basar ben hashinayim? And the Gemara answered what? Abasar within a ben hashinayim? What's the answer? The answer is that you can't rely on nikur. That's what the pasuk means. Habasar within a ben hashinayim, therefore you can't rely on nikur. Bach is very difficult. It's a very big doichak in the lashon of the Gemara. What the shaila of habasar ben hashinayim ma'u according to the Rambam means, can you rely on nikur to ensure that there's no chashash of habasar ben hashinayim? And the answer is habasar within a ben hashinayim, it has a shame basar. Habasar ben hashinayim is a shame basar. That's not the answer. The answer is you can't rely on nikur. Why? Because basar ben hashinayim has a shame basar. No one debated whether basar ben hashinayim has a shame basar. The shaila was, can you rely on nikur? That's how the Rambam was learning. Bach has a big kasha on the Rambam, but we don't really understand his teretz. Right? His shaila is, what's the ibaya in the Gemara? Habasar ben hashinayim mahu. That's the whole essence of the gzeira according to the Rambam. The gzeira is all about basar ben hashinayim. The chiyah, the sheer shehiyah is because of basar ben hashinayim. So what's the Gemara now asking? What's the status of basar ben hashinayim? Of course, the Rambam held that basar ben hashinayim is a problem. So what's going on over here? So comes the Bach and says, no. The shaila of the Gemara according to the Rambam is, can you rely on nikur to remove the basar ben hashinayim? So what's the teretz? Habasar within a ben hashinayim, you can't rely on nikur? That's what the pasuk means. That's not what the pasuk is even talking about. The pasuk is just saying that basar ben hashinayim is called basar. That's all we see from the pasuk. But what does that have to do with whether we can rely on nikur or not rely on nikur? Bach starts us off, but he doesn't finish the job. He has a good kasha. He has a pshat in Rambam, but it's not working well. Yes?
The Gemara says, no,
Nikol isn't different. How do you see that from the Pasuk? Habasar ben hashinayim.
It's still in the...
Habasar ben hashinayim means if there's basar ben hashinayim, it's a problem. But Nikol removes the basar. Right? If the shaila is, can you rely on Nikol to remove the basar? So you're saying basar ben hashinayim is basar. But I knew basar ben hashinayim was basar. The question is, can I rely on nikur to remove the basar ben hashinayim? So what's the answer? That basar ben hashinayim is basar? I knew that to begin with. The question is, can I rely on nikur to remove that basar?
And after using nikur, basar then b'shinayim. In other words, it's still in the shinayim.
No, but maybe it's not. After. Maybe it's not ben hashinayim. If I did nikur, then it's not ben hashinayim.
But it is. That's the teretz.
No, the teretz should be that I have to assume that the basar is ben hashinayim. How do I see from the pasuk that I have to assume that there's basar ben hashinayim? I just see from the pasuk that the basar was ben shinayim. So you see, if there is basar ben shinayim, it's called basar. That's all I saw. There's nothing about, do I have to rely on nikur, then I have to rely on nikur. That's not, the pasuk wasn't a lumdish pasuk, right? It's just that it's a part of a story. So we just see that basar ben hashinayim as a shame basar, but there's no reference to whether I have to be choshesh or basar ben hashinayim after nikur or not. The pasuk is not talking about that.
Can you not assume that the one, since the question is talking about nikur, and then the answer is talking about nikur as well?
No, we can't assume that, because I have to look at the pasuk and understand what the pasuk is saying. And the pasuk clearly is not talking about whether I have a chashash of basar ben hashinayim in the case of nikur. That's not what the pasuk is saying. The whole application of this pasuk in this sugya is fascinating, right? What are we calling a pasuk about a story for this shaila? The answer is because the pasuk does say ben hashinayim, and it does use the word basar. So you see that basar ben hashinayim still has the status of basar. Ad kan. But that's all the pasuk is telling me. It's not talking about whether I can assume that there's no basar ben hashinayim after nikur. What does that do with the pasuk? Comes the pri chadash and says a remarkable pshat in their own. He says, you know, according to the Rambam, you can say the Shaila in the Gemara was the same as according to Rashi. The Shaila in the Gemara was Basa ben Hashinayim la'acha sheishas. You see, the Bach was not learning like that. The Bach was learning that the Shaila in the Gemara was about toch sheishas. Can you rely on Nikr to remove the Basa ben Hashinayim? But says the Pri Chodesh, no, the Rambam learned that the problem of Bosa v'Yachakach Gavino, the reason why you have to wait is because of Bosa ben Hashinayim. That's how the Rambam was learning. Because there's a chashash that you won't be able to remove all the Bosa ben Hashinayim. There's a chashash that you won't be able to remove all the Bosa ben Hashinayim. So that's why the Rambam held. Right, the Rambam understood that the Chacham made a gzera because they were choshesh, you won't be able to remove all the Basa ben Hashinayim. But after Sheishos, the Rambam says that the Chacham felt you can eat Gvina. Why? Because we're not choshesh that there's Basa ben Hashinayim. Because any Basa that's palpable that you can see, you will remove. And if you can't really see it, right, we're not so afraid that it will come out as you eat. If it's achashe shows. Because if it's so embedded in the teeth, it might do bad things to your teeth, but it's not going to come out in the gvina. That's what the Pri Chodesh says. So that's why the Rambam didn't feel that there's a problem of basa ben Hashinayim la'achashe shows. There's a problem toshe shows because we're afraid it'll come out as you're eating the gvina. But la'achashe shows, we're not afraid it's going to come out as you're eating the gvina. Let's see the lashon of the Pri Chodesh on page 4. B'lachay nira. The first one in line is v'chein, v'chein. V'chein kosav harash v'tzachot. V'lachein nire, sheharav kosav shetzara sheishos v'bnei habasa shevena shenem she'en osar v'kinah. Klomar, shelo itiru chachomim ala'acha gvinam v'bnei sheksas tam shenisha v'fe esagile v'kinuach. The ksas tam you can get rid of with kinuach. Ma she'en kein bebasa shenichnas v'shinayim. Can't get rid of the basa v'shinayim with just the kinuach. Chazal were not willing to be makel based on nikur, taking out the basa ben Hashinayim, because they were afraid you won't do a good enough job. Ulafikach nasnu chachamim shir sheishos. The mistama mashenisha ben Hashinayim yotzei lachutz ma'at ma'at umesiro ve'achashir zelo chashina shenisha basa ben Hashinayim. What happens is over time, whatever is embedded in your teeth from the meal, it comes out. It just naturally comes out. Now, sometimes you're walking and like a piece of food comes into your mouth. Where did it come from? It came from the teeth. It's, you know, it dislodges after a while. Whatever is there is going to be dislodged. You'll swallow that. It's not going to be there anymore. The imtim tzalama shenisha lo chashinan sheyetze chutzal lefiv ba'od she'ochel gvina. And if it's still there, if it was so embedded that it didn't come out in 6 hours, it's not coming out when you eat the gvina either. So there's no problem. Tol sheishos, we're afraid you might not be menaka properly, and it'll come out as you're eating the gvina, and that's eating basa and gvina together. But la'acha sheishos, we're not afraid, because mistama, whatever is going to come out came out already. Whatever's not going to come out, it's not going to come out when you're eating the gvina either. Av lemotze basa ben hashinayim, af la'acha sheishos, mashma vada de basa havi, v'tzarech la'asiro af l'dasa rambam. So after Pri Chodesh, I don't think the Rambam and Rashi have a machlokas about this issue at all. Against the tour. The tour wanted to say that there's a Machogos Rashi in the Rambam about Basar ben Hashinayim la'achas sheishos. Then Rashi holds avada that's Basar. That's not part of this Gzera at all. That certainly would be awesome. The Rambam says, no, the whole Gzera is that Basar ben Hashinayim, Tol sheishos, has a shame Basar, but la'achas sheishos, it doesn't have a shame Basar, it's going to be mutter, even if you mamish have it ben Hashinayim. Comes the Pri Chodesh and says, that can't be, because of the Bach's Kasha. The Gemara makes no sense then. What's the Shaila in the Gemara? Basa ben Hashinayim Mau? The Rambam says, Toch Sheishos, that's the Gzeira, La'acha Sheishos, it's nothing. So what's the Shaila? Right? So he comes and says, no. Even the Rambam would admit that if you mamish have Basa ben Hashinayim, La'acha Sheishos, it still has a Shein Basa. That was the Shaila in the Gemara. Basa ben Hashinayim Mau, I know that the Ikka Gzeira was that there might be basa left in Hashinayim, but what was the gzera? That the Chazal were choshesh that maybe you're not going to be able to take out all the basa, even if you are menakev in Hashinayim. So they made an issa to eat basa achagvina. But after Vav Shos, they were no longer concerned, because mistama the basa is going to come out naturally, and whatever doesn't come out is not going to come out when you're eating the gvina anyway. But if you mamish habasa ben hashinayim la'achav avshos, avada the Rambam would say it's a problem, just like Rashi. And that's what the Gemara says. Basa ben hashinayim mau. That means basa ben hashinayim la'achav avshos mau. Even according to the Rambam. Is it mu'ukal after avshos or not? And the maskana of the Gemara is it's not mu'ukal. Right? It still has a shame basa, even la'achav avshos. So bein lefi Rashi, bein lefi the Rambam. It would be a problem. If you have basa ben hashinayim mamish. That's the Pichadosh's answer to the Gemara. That there is no nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam over here. Right? So we had a machlokas, the Levush and the Shach, whether there's a nafkamina of Lois Latino between Rashi and the Rambam. Well, no, they were both agreed. And now we have a machlokas, the Tur and the Pichadosh, whether there's a nafkamina of basa ben hashinayim, la'achav of shaos, between Rashi and the Rambam. Okay, so the Torah sets it up like it's a beautiful sheer klali, right? There's two approaches. There's Rashi and the Rambam, and two nafkaminas, and everything is great, and we can, you know, break for lunch. Come the Achronim and say, just one second. Let's look. Let's learn. Right? The Achronim say it's not so posh. If you understand what Rashi's really saying, right? If you understand the Gemara, the Shach of the Torah, the Gemara, it's not clear that either nafkamina is really a nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. Be'emes l'maskona, l'maisa, it doesn't really matter because the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to take both chumers. So even if we were to say it's a nafkamina, we still would have to be machmer. But in terms of svara, in terms of the shittas themselves, to understand the shittas, it's not so clear that it's talked to nafkamina. The Maram has the simplest prat in the Rambam. The Maram says that the shayla of the Gemara, according to the Rambam, was just, is there a reason to be gozer on basa ben hashinayim v'sof vav shos? That was the shayla of the Gemara. The Shaila of the Gemara was a very basic Shaila. Shaila was, why should we be gozer? Why did the Chacham give a shiur that you have to wait between Basa and Kriya? Why? Well, what's the purpose of it? Meaning, the Shaila of the Gemara was a basic question about the Iker Gzeira the Rabban. That's how the Rabban learned. The Shaila was, why should we have to wait? Is Basa ben Hashinayim really so significant? That was the Shaila of the Gemara. Right? Not that this is a shayla after we already know the gzera. No, this was a basic shayla on the gzera. Why? Is basa ben hashinayim so significant? And to that the Gemara answers, yes, habasa ben hashinayim. You see that basa ben hashinayim is significant. That's why they made the gzera. Right? So that's the shayla. What's the that's strange. Rav Chista makes a statement that you have to wait between basa and vina. So then they ask on him, they ask on him, basa ben hashinayim out? But he said basa ben hashinayim is a problem. No, he didn't say what the tam was. He said there's an issa, right? He said there's an issa. So so Rav Achabar Yosef understood that he was saying that it's also because of basa ben hashinayim, but he sort of was afraid to ask the Rebbe, but how can that be? So he sort of says, what's the din of basa ben hashinayim? Now he knows that's the tam that the Rebbe has. But he says, what's the din of basa ben hashinayim? Well, what he's really asking is, what? Basa ben hashinayim is so significant? But, you know, to say like that, that's like a chutzpah question. You wouldn't ask like that. So he says, well what's the din of basa ben hashinayim? To which Rav Chista responds, habasa din of ben hashinayim, habasa, it's a problem. So he's like, shoel b'derech kovod. He's asking a b'derech kovod. That's the lotion that the Maram has. Right? He's like, shoel b'derech kovod, but he really was asking a very fundamental question. He wasn't just asking an extra shayla. He was asking on the ikar din. The near the lefit svaras harambam sar levar gahadu kamle revacha by Yosef le rabchis the basa shemen shnei mao lav beloshen boi kamle. This is not stamani baya ela beloshen koshi ustira ledvarav. He's basically saying, I don't understand. How can you say it's asa? You're saying it's asa because of basa ben hashinayim. What's the din of basa ben hashinayim? No, what he really means is you're saying it's asa because of basa ben hashinayim. Basa ben hashinayim is basa. That's what he was really asking, but he didn't have the chutzpah to say it directly. So he says, "Basa ben hashinayim now." You know, like yes, so like no, that's the difference. So, but he's really asking, "Come on, what kind of a right?" Mipnei ma omar da'ochel basa rasalecho vina mishem basa shem ben hashinayim. Basa ben hashinayim mau ritzon alama ha'inol chashav al basa. It's not called basa anymore. It doesn't have a shame basa. Why should we ask him? His stance is no. Abasa ben ben shem. You see the taka. It is called basa, so it makes sense to make the gzera. So the shayla of the Gemara, according to this pshat, was not talking about a different case of bas ben shinayim la'achav hashem. He's talking about the ikka gzeira. It's just he didn't have the chutzpah to ask him directly, how can he make such a gzeira? So that's why he asked it to b'derech kavod. And this was this already before the Maran, the Meiri said the same thing, but the Maran just didn't have a Meiri. And the Meiri says, Rav Acha shalom bas ben shinayim ma'u mitoch kvodo l'rotza l'hakshos lo l'derech she'ela. Chlomar, Shakinuach vaday mavrehu shamnunis hanid bagbachek. Benimta sheino locha shela labasa shemena shenayim sheno sabi kinuach. Kinuach definitely is going to remove the shamnunis, so why shouldn't kinuach be enough? You're afraid of basa ben shenayim? Ubasa ze mimikri basa? Is that really called basa? Beishivo sheba vaday nikrahu basa mitokaf sarat nishalom. Shaka Vatai was about the ikar gzeira. Is basa ben shenayim really so significant to make a gzeira about that? So he responded to him, yeah, Abasa then ben Shinayim tells me that it does have a din of Basar, and therefore there is room for Gzeir. So that's really the simplest pshat. Turns out that the Rambam, the Rambam will learn the Gemara as just referring to the Ikar Gzeira. It's not Hoshir pshat in the Gemara. Pshat in the Gemara is that it's talking about something extra. So to work out the Gemara in the best way, according to the Rambam, if it's something extra, it is to say that the Rambam will really learn the same way as Rashi. That the Rambam agrees that Basar ben Hashinayim la'acha she'eshos really does have a din of Basar, and that was the shah of the Gemara. The Rambam just felt that the Chazal made a gzera that you have to wait between Basar and Vina because they were choshesh that even if you're menaker, it's not going to remove the Basar ben Hashinayim completely. But after Vav Shos, we're no longer concerned for Basar ben Hashinayim. But if you mamish a Basar ben Hashinayim la'acha she'eshos, maybe the taka should be a problem. Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? So that was the subject of the Gemara, and to that the Gemara responded that yes, it is a problem, not only according to Rashi, but even according to the Rambam.